22. When the fellows of the Consortium of the Sillies reconvened after a late lunch, they were surprised to find Sergeant Clapper awaiting them in the Victorian lounge, seated on the piano bench, his back to the upright piano.
"I'll take but a minute of your valuable time," he said convivially, as they placed themselves on the red, overstuffed chairs. "I wanted to inform you that the premises of Star Castle will be examined again this afternoon. Is that all right with you, Mr. Kozlov?"
"Me? Sure. What I got to hide? Just don't break nothing."
"Very well, then."
Donald Pinckney's forefinger went up.
"Do you mean you'll be searching our rooms again, Sergeant?"
"Yes, I do."
"Again?" Rudy Walker said. "You've already gone through all our things once."
"Yes, it's not that pleasant to have someone pawing through your personal things, you know," Donald said. "I mean, well, my wife doesn't appreciate having some stranger."
Clapper's eyebrows drew together.
"I don't expect anyone will be interfering with your wife's personal things at this time, or yours either."
"Oh, I see," Donald said, quick to show that he wasn't objecting, not really.
"It's just a sort of general search, then, for clues and things."
"Exactly."
"Oh, well, that's all right, then."
"Not with Victor Waldo."
"Look, I understand this is Vasily's house, but as his guests, don't we have some rights to privacy? I ask as a matter of principle."
Clapper waited to see if there were other protestations. When none came, he said,
"Yes, sir, of course you have rights, and those rights have been observed."
He held out a folded sheaf of papers.
"I have here a search warrant authorized by the magistrate in St. Mary's this morning, applicable to all rooms in the house, including those occupied by guests. You're welcome to examine it."
"No, of course not. There's no need for that."
"Don't you have to have specific cause in order to get a search warrant?"
Liz Petra asked.
"I know we do in the States."
"Yes, we certainly do."
He could see that Liz and several others were on the edge of demanding to know his cause, but no one had the nerve to ask. He waited a moment longer and then said,
"I must request that no one enter his or her room again until the room has been examined."
"Oh, brother," Liz grumbled, "that's really a pain."
"It should be quicker than yesterday's search," Clapper assured her. "I expect we'll be done by dinner. Oh, and should any of you wish to be present in your room during the execution of the warrant, you may do. Anybody?"
Nobody took him up, although for a moment Liz and Victor seemed close to it.
"Very well, then,"
he began again. And again he was interrupted. This time it was by Rob, who came in to tell him that the crime scene examiner that he had requested from Exeter had arrived, and would like to begin as soon as was convenient.
"Well, then,"
Clapper said with evident enthusiasm, placing his hands on his thighs and pushing himself up.
"Shall we get on with it?"
He tipped an invisible hat to the attendees.
"Do enjoy your afternoon."
The librarian at the reference desk, a disciplinarian of the old school, looked up sharply and with a pencil to her lips, sternly motioned to silence the large American gentleman at the computer.
"Ah, no," he had murmured.
Anyone seeing Gideon Oliver trudging up Garrison Hill toward Star Castle might have wondered if his feet were bothering him. Indeed, he was literally dragging them, scuffling along with his shoulders hunched and his hands in his pockets, unhappy to know what he now knew, reluctant to do what he now knew had to be done. As he walked under the carved ER 1593, he heard voices and clinking, cups on saucers, forks on plates, from above. He looked at his watch. 3:30. The members of the consortium were starting their afternoon tea on the lawn atop the ramparts. He climbed the stone steps to find them just arranging themselves in plastic lawn chairs, most of them balancing cups and saucers in their hands or on their thighs, and some managing to deal with the pastry as well. Behind them, Mr. Morton, very proper in tie and coat, manned the bar, which was set up with tea and coffee things. Julie lit up and waved when she saw him.
"Hi, sweetheart, come on over."
She was sitting in a little group with Liz and Kozlov. Near them, Victor, Rudy, and Donald formed another conversational clump, along with Mike Clapper, who was demurely sipping his tea, pinky extended, while sitting atop one of a pair of stubby 17th-century cannons set out on the lawn. A little further away in a group of their own, Cheryl Pinckney, not off tooling around on her motorcycle for once, was working her feline, high-cheekboned magic on Rob and was having some success, judging from his rigid, uneasy posture and his bright pink face. Gideon pulled up a chair beside Julie and sat down heavily.
"Not having anything?" Liz asked.
"Have some tea," Kozlov amiably commanded. "No, thanks. I really don't want anything."
Julie's brow wrinkled. She brought her head closer to his and lowered her voice.
"Is something wrong?"
"No, not wrong," he whispered. "Not exactly. I have to talk to Mike, that's all. There's..."
"So, Sergeant,"
Kozlov boomed, bringing the other conversations to a halt.
"The searching shall have been finished?"
"Oh, yes, it's done," Clapper said pleasantly. "We won't have to bother you lot any more."
"And you find what you're looking for?"
Clapper smiled.
"I believe we did, yes, as a matter of fact."
"What do you know? He's figured it out too," Gideon thought. He hoped it was true, because it meant that it wasn't going to be up to him, Gideon, to rat on anyone after all, a duty he was dreading. His stiff shoulders relaxed a bit. He began thinking that a cup of tea might be a good thing.
"Good, good," Kozlov said. "You make progress."
"Oh, yes,"
Clapper boomed genially on, his voice carrying well on the soft, warm air.
"We should have it all sorted out pretty soon. I have to clear up a few minor areas of inconsistency, that's all."
"Inconsistency?" Donald asked after a few seconds of silence that was very definitely pregnant. "Are you referring to our interviews with you?"
"Yes, as a matter of fact. Minor things, really, but..."
"Well, this would be a good time to resolve them, wouldn't it?" Rudy asked. "We're all here."
"Oh, I don't like to intrude on this splendid tea."
"Like hell you don't," Gideon thought.
"It's okay, it's good, it's interesting," Kozlov said. "What kind inconsistency?"
"Well, all right then. It's a simple matter of room assignments at the first consortium 2 years ago."
Hatless, but otherwise in his casual summer uniform of white short-sleeved shirt and blue trousers, Clapper looked crisp and robust. He lifted the flap of his breast pocket, took out his mechanical pencil and notepad, licked the point of the pencil and pretended to study the diagram he'd drawn earlier.
"Now, let me see. Mr. Waldo, you stated that you and Mrs. Waldo were in the Sir Henry Vane room."
Waldo colored slightly at the mention of his wife, but nodded.
"That's correct."
"Mrs. Oliver, you were in the Sir John Wildman room, and Miss Petra, I believe you said you were staying in the Duke of Hamilton room. Mr. Walker, the John Bastwick room."
Nod, nod, nod.
"Very good. To continue..."
"Wait a minute," Donald said. "I'm pretty sure Cheryl and I were in the John Bastwick room."
He frowned.
"Weren't we? Isn't that what I told you?"
"That is what you told me,"
Clapper said, pretending to scrutinize his drawing again, and then raising his head to level his gaze at Donald.
"And therein lies the source of my confusion. I rather doubt that the three of you were lodged together."
"Of course we weren't," Rudy said primly. "Donald, if I'm not mistaken, you two were in the John Biddle room."
"The hell we were,"
Cheryl said, turning her attention from Rob.
"We were in the John Bastwick room. Joey was next to us, in the Marianas Napper room. And you were on the other side of him in the John Biddle room, down at the end of the hall."
"That's right," Liz said. "I remember too."
"So do I,"
Julie said. "Definitely."
"Was I?"
Rudy shrugged. "That's not what I remember."
"But maybe I was. Too many Johns around here, I guess."
Actually, Mr. Walker, Clapper said gravely, setting his tea down on the lawn and rising from the cannon, never taking his eyes from Rudy. That's quite a significant point, I'm afraid. Rudy wasn't laughing anymore.
What's a significant point? What the hell difference does it make which room I was in? What's this all about? What are you trying to do?
Clapper just kept gazing at him, as did the others now. The silence on the ramparts was profound. There was no sound but the soughing of the breeze.
What's going on here?
Rudy blurted, looking now at Rob, who had gotten up and was slowly approaching him.
What's the difference? I forgot my room, that's all. I didn't kill anyone, you know, I just...
Yeah, you did, Gideon said. He hadn't meant to. It had just popped out. And he'd said it, if softly, mostly to himself. But in the silence, everyone heard it. Yeah, echoed Clapper, with what he must have thought was an American twang. You did. He glanced at Rob. Constable? Rob placed himself directly in front of Rudy, face to face, and stood tall.
Rudolph James Walker, you are under arrest for the murder of Edgar Villarreal. You do not have to say anything, but it may arm your defense if you do not mention when questioned something, which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say,